I think we're good.
It's 6:38. I'm calling the meeting of the Junction City Library Board to order on Wednesday, April 12th. In attendance, Board Chair Jennifer Dagas, Board Members Laura Brown, Nancy Sabin, Wendy Thielander. Cindy Vermilia is absent. Library Director is here, Michelle Snyder. And City Administrator Jason Canope. First of all, are there any changes to the agenda? None. Next topic, approval of the February and March meeting minutes.
Are we approving them together or separately?
Separate.
Maybe approve the February 15th minutes?
Yes. Any changes?
They looked good to me. I reviewed them virtually.
Are you moving to accept?
Yes. Fine.
So have they been duly accepted?
Are you going to second?
I firsted.
Done. Okay. All right. What about March?
Did we accept the March minutes?
Done. Okay. February and March meeting minutes have been accepted. Topic number four, discussion on the library budget. So I will hand that over to Jason.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. So got a bit of information tonight, and I really didn't know what to bring, what not to bring. So the probably easiest place to start is going to be the color charts. I think they should have a set of color charts. What I wanted to explain is just kind of how the library gets its general revenue funding from the city. So right now, the way the city does things is we bring in all of the property taxes. The council has set a division of those revenues based on 72% for the police department, 4% for the planning, 4% for court, and 20% for community services, which is parks, library, community center, senior center, and the pool. The other piece to that, so every year we see the property taxes, they go up a little bit, around somewhere between 3% and 5% on average over the last 10 years. So each year it goes up just a little bit, not a ton, but some years we get bumps as we get like new development, probably not this next year, the year after the new apartments behind the fire department will hit the tax rolls. So we'll see a larger bump than normal. So basically all that gets split down. So then the other piece of that is what we call general revenue. General revenue is our franchise fees that we charge for like your gas company, electric company, people who use the road right away. The city takes half of the franchise fees and puts it directly back into streets for maintenance of the streets. The other half stays in general fund. Then with that, we give things like the liquor tax, the cigarette tax, the transient room tax, are just some of those examples of those other general revenues. Those are divided out by the same percentages as the property taxes. So what we do each year, once we do that, we take the 20% for community services. And quite honestly, we try to make sure everything balances based on the budget request. There isn't a fixed allocation like the rest of it. It's just kind of where is the biggest need. Like for a couple of years there, the library got a little bigger than normal chunk because its bucket was negative. So we shifted things over to get it back positive where it needed to be. And as I said, it kind of varies from year to year. We've been talking internally about maybe creating something so it's a little more fixed, but nothing of that is on the horizon at the moment. So in this case, if you look at this, we show the library gets about 5% overall. So that's not 5% of the 20%, it's just 5% overall. So of the 20%, it gets 15% split out amongst the other community services divisions. Does that make sense for so far?
Mm-hmm. So we usually mount down.
I'm sorry.
Said except we usually round down 4.23%. That's not really 5%.
I'm just going what they gave me based on that. Which is, you're looking at the.
Well, both of them 4.23% there and 4.23% there.
I'm saying 5.3.
You are looking at last year. So let me give you the right one.
Oh. Well, there you go. That's why your numbers
are good. So now your numbers will be.
Well, that is much better. That's almost 6% there. I
mean, my point, you're getting more than you got last year. Thank you. So, yep, you're welcome. I'm just like, hey, I'm looking at this. No, I've got glasses on, but I usually can see this. So I did include last year too, just so we had that as a reference of looking on the look at that. The general revenue is a declining source of revenue overall for the city because franchise fees are starting to level out, and you know, the city, like I said, took half of them back to give back to streets. So that's really where it should be. The things like your cigarette tax, liquor tax, we see that declining, generally speaking, each year is a little less than what it was before, especially the cigarette tax. So not real good there, but fortunately for us, those will make up a pretty small percentage of the overall.
Is that because fewer people are smoking, or have taxes come down?
No, taxes have gone up with fewer people are smoking. So I quit 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. So
congratulations.
Yeah, after 20 plus years, that was interesting. Ordeal. But so that's kind of what we see as far as.
But to compensate, liquor's going up. So there you go.
Yeah, but not by enough. People need to start drinking some more. So that to balance out a little better.
So with the growth in housing over there, does that mean like Verizon and Comcast would grow, or is that just a set?
Comcast, you might see grow. Verizon is going to continue to shrink because they're moving more and more of their stuff is moving from your hard lines to your wireless.
Yeah.
And so that's a different pot of money that we don't get anything from.
Oh.
So, yeah. And what's sad is when you see the new houses from a property tax standpoint, doesn't give much at the end of the day. Because we're $6 and a little over $6 per $1,000 of assessed value. So it's not, you know, so a $300,000 home is only about $1,800 plus. So it's not a ton, you know. Businesses, things of that nature, those are where you get your bigger property tax bumps in the long run. That's why you see where we try to encourage more commercial and industrial, just about. But anyway, so question, does the whole allocation piece of this make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that, I'll just go ahead and jump into the actual budget itself. It's just a two pages here with all the numbers on it. Where do we want to start with this? Not a lot of changes in materials and services this year, but we are seeing a bump in the personnel services. As part of our most significant bump this year is about 27,000 bump there in personnel. And I'll come back to that in a minute, but I just kind of want to go over a couple other things. Revenue, biggest thing we always look at is line one, the beginning fund balance, because we have to have a minimum amount for the library. It's about 45,000. It's a percentage of your materials and services and personal services, and it's set by fiscal policy. So we're doing good there. So we're seeing where that fund balance is healthy. It'll go through. You're just going to see all the difference, what we anticipate as far as grants. The last two lines 12 and 13, that's where the library's portion of the general revenue and property taxes come in. So it says line 17 through 24 is wages and benefits for both Michelle's and Sophia's positions. And if at any point you guys have got a question, feel free to chime in. Don't be afraid to interrupt me. I won't mind. materials and services, the key ones we always get asked about is like line 27. What is that? That's the administrative charges. So every department pays a portion of the overhead costs. So finance, administration, everybody has their own piece based on mostly FTE count and then receipts for the finance side in general. Then we get down to, let's see, 5 vocals. No, they're not my friend.
Hello.
Hello.
So, I'm having camera problems tonight. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. So, yes, Cindy joined us here.
So then line 48 is our building maintenance charges. That stays pretty, we try to keep that pretty consistent, but that's basically, we have a, in the internal services division, we have a gentleman that does work with the building maintenance stuff. And then those types of charges for, you know, minor repairs around the library, not, it's not intended to be like replacement of a roof or big things like that. That's kind of the way.
I'm sorry, what are the administrative charges?
So basically there is, it's your administration and finance overhead charges. And then you have line 38 is your IT service charges. Again, that's just for the supports and care of both all the public terminals plus the staff workstations. So then that continues over onto the second page. And overall, the materials and services went up by about 11,000 overall. And that's based on a year on. The line 59 start getting into your transfers. So every department has a capital expenditure plan. I brought that for the library if you folks wanted to look at that. Pass some of these items of interest. And basically for the library, it's pretty short right now. It's really just looking at what does it take to keep the building open, for lack of a better way to phrase it. The all the computer related replacement stuff is taken out of the, it's not part of this, it's part of the overall city's computer replacement plan, which part of the administrative charges funds that. It's all part of it. It goes into the administration's capital projects, which is where everybody contributes and saves towards replacement computers and stuff. So that's part of the administration projects as well. For the library, I was just doing some figuring on that. That's roughly about 6,000 of that administrative charges is just for computer replacement, computer hardware replacement. Questions so far? No, it's a lot of numbers. Okay. So and then the last kind of item to really point out is line number 62, that's the contingency. So that's for if something comes up that wasn't anticipated, need to end up spending a little more on books or something, we've got a line to pull through it in without having to upset the apple cart anywhere else. Each department has their own. And then in case of general fund, there's a bigger contingency as well that's for all the departments, but we started the lower piece first. So that's why this one, you don't see it. It's not a whole lot, the $4,400, not a ton of dollars, but keeping in mind, there's usually a bigger one that's a couple hundred thousand that all the departments have access to. It just takes a little more going through than the internal one. Once there's questions, I'll kind of keep going through here. So kind of hinted at it with transfers. We have the Community Services Capital Projects Fund. So this is where all the community service departments save their money. The library is on the back page. So it's listed, the very last one, starting with line 75. You can see right now there's about 46,000 in there. So looking at adding in a little more. You can start getting into the outlay items, starting with line 81. And that's based off of the list we have here. You'll see the 24, 25 columns. Or excuse me, 20. Apologize. It's actually 23, 24. We have some projects that are carrying over, like the interior painting. It's going to be done after July 1. But we would budget based on these CEP projects there. So in this case, there's nothing in 23-24, but we've got carryover. The 10,000 in line 83. Michelle's always got projects, so I wanted to have a line tucked away so we could be able to work with her on those first, like whether it's new furniture inside or adding a turnstile, something of that nature, those kinds of things, to get a little bit of funding in that.
Will we have enough on the roof replacement? Yes. 7,500.
Yeah, we just got recent bids and it's gonna be about 6,500 last week. Wow.
Is there any I haven't seen any leaks, so that's good.
They were like, we just had them up last summer and so they looked and didn't see any soft spots or anything like that. So that's why the price is lower that way. And the way we've got about 7 or 8 buildings all under contract. So it's that's how we get the better pricing.
Bundle discount.
Pretty much, no. Well, especially when you look like the community center, it's got like 4 roofs all to its own because of all the beaches and alleys. That did not. Not sure we thought that was a good idea, but. So. Questions so far? Somewhere. And I went over fairly quickly, but it's not a big budget. Or pages and things. With that, I do want to flag for folks. So I've got two things. So I would like to. Sorry, a lot of different things going on in my head and trying to put in work so that makes sense. I think it would be, I would feel a lot better working with the board earlier in the year from a budget standpoint. Because typically, it usually comes in the last minute, and that just doesn't work real well for everybody. So I would like to kind of flag for folks maybe in about, I'd say November, roughly, to start having budget discussions with the board. And I think because then at that point, the board would have time to work on what it wanted to work on, and it could be submitted on the front end of the budget process versus the back end. That would just be make everybody feel a lot better in the long run.
And then does that happen through Michelle to you, or do we go through council or
what? I would come back just like I'm here today, okay. But it would be I would bring different paperwork and we just have a different work that way.
Okay.
Because the problem we've got in this year's budget is to fund everything in community services the way folks had requested. Required me to eliminate the funding to the senior center.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's zero. How does that work?
So, but how that works is they have a pretty solid beginning fund balance right now. So we're borrowing basically some time for a year or two to give us the ability to kind of work through and see what other solutions we can come up with. Because there's not a long-term solution for the senior center. They have like 150, 160, something like that, 1,000 fund balance right now. And their minimum they need is 8,000. So we've got a little bit of time and they burn about 20,000 a year, what falls down to it. So it's not a huge piece, but it's not a forever solution. So yeah, and I don't know what the right answer is, but we're gonna have to work through some options to come up with something that makes sense for everybody long-term. I'll be flagging it for the community services committee so we look at the other ones as well. So it's not, I'm not saying just the library, it's just all of community services. We're going to have to look at that. The other piece that I did is I basically, there used to be a full one person that was assigned to the community center. And we eliminated that from a 1.0 FTE down to a 0.25. So went from a 40-hour a week position down to a 10-hour. And even with that, I still had to take everything from the senior center. And part of that is in this budget proposed right now, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to make it through because I'm sure I'm going to get pushed back on the senior center portion. I know that's going to happen, but part of what I've got here is having a 0.5 FTE within the library. And that's just not going to be sustainable going forward. What I'm hoping is through the year, we can find some ways to get things kind of settled a little bit to figure what the boundary is of what we can afford. And then work from there. That's just kind of unfortunately where it's at. We're looking at some similar stuff on the park side as well.
I was going to ask, because I really, this is the first time I've ever looked at a city budget before, so I have no idea. But what does parks entail that, I mean, obviously maintenance, that I'm just like, you know, the library, we've got actual material resources, we've got building upkeep, we've got staff. So what does parks look like? Because, you know, they obviously get more money. So I'm just wondering what that looks like.
So the parks have, goodness gracious, there's 11? Well, parks right now in Junction City.
Yeah.
That includes like the across from Graceville Justice Field, the field house building, right. All of that. That parks budget is responsible for maintaining all those facilities there, along with all different playgrounds and the annual, you know, lawn care.
Right.
They
got
a mow lawn.
Yeah.
But, you know, plant trees, take out trees, all that kind of stuff.
So how many staff is?
Three. And that's not fully three, that is split three with streets. So right now, parks pays for about 1.5 employees, roughly. And then streets picks up the rest because that same three also maintain like all the open spaces and drainage ways in town. So it's kind of that mixed bag.
What is the percentage of other cities in similar areas, like 20% going to the community fund? What does that look like for Monroe? What does that look like for Springfield? Is that pretty much on par?
So if you start looking at cities our size or smaller, the 20%, most other places, quite honestly, are way less than 20%. Most of it, you know, most of your law enforcement is 90, 95 to 100% of the general fund budget. It's hard to make a comparison for us because we offer more community services than pretty much almost anybody our size or smaller. So it's that, so it's for an apples to apples comparison, it's hard to do. I think for us, with that 20%, we managed to make it go quite a ways. Would I like to see more? Absolutely. But on the same note, where does, you know, it's that age old balancing game of how much goes to law enforcement, how much goes to
everything else.
Everything else. Yeah. And yeah, and that's part of why you see we've created what we call the bucket system for each department. So each department, they get their money, and whether they spend it or not, they get to keep it instead of it going back into the bigger pot and being taken over by another department. And it's eliminated a lot of the, quite honestly, the warfare I used to see at budget level where the police department was trying to convince the budget committee to take money out of community services and vice versa for whatever project. It's not a perfect system, but it's we're better than what we used to be. I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but basically from what we've seen, 20% on average is higher than most of the folks around us until you start getting into your Eugene Springfield. Then Eugene has a separate fee on the utility bill that goes to fund their parks and open spaces. So they generate revenue specifically for that.
Can we do that here, or is that like?
That's definitely an option. I mean, we can ask for anything. How that would work is, let's say the city decided that it was going to add, I'm just going to pick a number, $3 a month to people's utility bill. And it decides to implement that. If someone, if the community then can basically create a petition to force it to a vote. Okay. Typically, what I've seen, and the city hasn't done this a lot, but what it's done in the past when it's come across these is instead of putting it on the bill and forcing the community to do the petition process, it just sends it out to vote. Goodness gracious, 2003, 2004, somewhere in there, it was looked into at one point in time, and the thought was spinning all of community services off into its own parks and recreation district. Unfortunately, while it had a lot of support within the community, the greater area, because they chose to use the school district boundaries just for most of the folks out in the rural areas said thank you, but no thank you. So, but yeah, that's something that, you know, where we, and that's part of why we created the Parks and Open Spaces Division, kind of modeling a little bit after Eugene, just the mindset of doing that kind of option to help generate more revenue.
I'm sure it's no secret we need more staff, and it feels like we can't get more staff without taking away from another department.
That's a very fair assessment. That's 100% correct.
So we need more money.
Correct. Yeah. And that's, you know, and until we can figure that out, sorry to say this, Michelle, but we're going to have to rack it back what we do to make sure we can live within our bounds first. So we don't, you know, I don't want to get too far out in front with creating new things, doing things, and then tell the community, oh, sorry, we can't afford to do that anymore. So then they're going to feel, I would think they would feel, I know I would feel like, hey, I like this service. You took it away, but now you're telling me I better pay $3 a month for it. Mm-hmm. Kind of bad. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing has never gone over well. So, that's really what it boils down to. And that's the same thing for all the other departments within community service. How can we find a way to increase the revenue?
Has there ever been anything else that's been looked at besides the Parks and Rec District? A lot of the larger concern of people, just even our close neighbors who are in well water, and they don't fall under, they're unincorporated because they're not paying into city revenue to get like a free library card. And there's Lane County is one of the largest areas of no library service for up to 77,000 people. So we have people who are on River Road. They don't fit within like the Eugene boundary. They don't fit within technically our boundary for like a free card. There's people who are Junction City, but they are within Cheshire or
The zip code.
Or, yeah, there's zip code.
Across from, considered county if you're across from the high school down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still county, not
the
city.
Trailer park that is
in which other road you're on.
Right.
And
but that's, like, you're in Junction City, but you're still not
it's a concern. It's a huge concern. You know, we try our best to serve as many people as we can. The Friends group, we offer a program if children are in the lower reduced, you know, lower free income. But that doesn't serve everybody. And I didn't know if it's ever been looked at to, you know, a lot of people look at Benton County, and Benton County's a lot more funding, and they're also more branch kind of like banking, where all their libraries are in one system. So no matter where you live or work within Benton County, you get a card free. And so I didn't know if, you know, just that conversation alone becomes difficult with people who are in the housing right across the tracks, who are in well water. I thought they were, and then I worked with Carrie in planning, and she's like, oh, they were grandfathered in and they're actually on well water. We had no idea. And it was just like, they are our close neighbors just across the tracks, and yet they don't kind of come under the umbrella of a free card. Or the seniors who largely populate a lot of the trailer villages. And so I didn't know if future-wise that would ever be looked at of being, you know, I know it's a bigger thing to be a parks and rec district, but maybe being, you know,
a library district.
Like Fern Ridge, they encompass multiple cities. Like they're Notai, Walton, Elmira, and Bonita. And I didn't know if, you know, that would be something that, you know, is a possibility of one day reaching out in that manner.
And so anything's possible. I mean, I'm not gonna blow smoke, but to do that, the library would have to, you know, not part of the city.
Well, of course,
yeah. The city can't extend a service district out like that.
Is there a way not to do it as a district or as a, I don't know how levies or all the other stuff works that basically bring in funding from different areas to everybody being able to have access?
There's only two ways the city can do it. It's, well, technically three, but the third one doesn't count because that's for utilities. Either city limits or a service district. That's the only two ways the cities can charge a fee or tax properties. If the city can't tax properties outside its boundaries without some type of district or agreement by those properties to allow them to be taxed. So we just can't.
You know, how about all the houses that are in the city limits that aren't technically city? There's a lot of them like on 10th Street and everything that...
Yeah, you get out in the vine more on the west. And again, they're out in the county. Technically, they're the county. So
yeah, but I mean, the houses around them and everything are
yeah
in the city.
And there's no way you can ever get those people in or what? I mean, I understood that.
Quite frankly, yes, the city could, but it's not in the city's interest to do so.
Oh,
because we could force an annexation. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Uh-huh. But the amount of lawsuits it would take to do that, it would take 100 years to recoup the cost.
But I mean, they pay less than half the taxes of the other people.
That's why they would fight us, because I would have bought them. Like, no,
I don't want to pay.
And then if you want to get on the sewer and everything, but they want $60,000 or $80,000.
It's not that high.
Oh, no. I've heard huge numbers, but they must be exaggerating, huh?
you're probably talking about, there's folks like over what used to be the Vistadale subdivision. And that was part of a, quite frankly, a botched agreement between the city and the state and the Vistadale group. And if they would have done things back in the early 90s, it would have been about $15,000 a pop. To do everything, water, sewer, street, sidewalks, lights. Right.
Yeah.
Discussion rolled around in mid, 2014, 15, 16, somewhere in there. To do everything again is that $80,000 price.
Oh, yeah.
So what the city did is said, okay, Lord, we're going to ratchet this back. And just water, just sewer. And it was like, if you did it at the time, it was like, $4,000, $5,000 per boat.
Oh, really?
The city went ahead and paid and just put in the lines. And said, okay, you have to pay from the main line to your property.
Right.
Here's that piece. You get their piece. We won't make you pay any connection fees because we need to get you off of your stuff. So that's probably how that evolved, but I couldn't guess. At one point, but that's an effort, you know. Now that they don't have sidewalks over there, they don't have streetlights over there, there's not a stormwater system over there. Because they weren't interested for that price, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't be honest. Yeah. But like I said, if they would have done it, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it was way. And for whatever reason, it just didn't happen.
Now, if those people sell their house, are they required to join the city at that point?
Technically, they're all in city limits. That Mr. Daler is in city limits. Spruce, Tamarack, from 10th going north. That's all in city limits. But if you look at it, it doesn't look like it.
Right.
Because they had to annex in at the time. Because they were a private well system that paid.
But then you get like Prairie, half her in, half her out.
Over time, those will come in over time. Because what will happen is the city will put in a sewer system and Lane County will not issue a permit for your septic system if you're within 250 feet of a gravity sewer system.
Oh, Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But how do people on like 10th Street, this little house is not, and this is, and
their septic systems haven't failed yet.
Oh.
That's what it boils down to. It hasn't failed yet. As they fail, they get connected over.
Oh.
Because the county will not, it's part of their code, they won't, because they want to get rid of all septic systems. Because well, yeah. groundwater is
right, right.
So they just set their rule saying, we're not going to force you, but if you're within 200 feet of it, we're not going to give you a permit to do anything with your septic system.
So all new building, like the new housing coming.
They're all on public service. Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, you can't build any new structure inside Junction City and not. You can't be on a well and you can't be on a septic system.
Mm-hmm.
There are some provisions that allow you to have a well for outside irrigation only.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole process for that. But sorry.
That's what my house on First Street had. I don't remember what triggered it where they had to put in city water. But the house itself is on city water and the yard irrigation is still the well.
Yeah, but that's, and some of your older areas, that's not uncommon. There's, oh goodness, we have a list of them, and there's probably about a dozen throughout town, dozen, 18 that fall in that category. There was a developer at one point in time that had friends at the county, and he was able to build subdivisions in the county and then turn around and get them annexed into the city.
Mm-hmm. Is there a story that goes, why our boundary line is so strange to kind of, yeah, it just like, you know, goes around and then, well, if it, you know, if we have our core and then it narrows to a strip, you know, for down 99 and then kind of branches out the unincorporated area by Cheshire and Albador. And
no, it doesn't.
For
Our we don't go out that way. We go down south on Highway 99 until we get to Mill Iron, and we go out to cover the Department of Corrections mental health properties. That's as far as we go. We stop at Medical.
But the unincorporated that people have Junction City listed as.
Oh, yeah. Zip code. I have no idea where it all.
Oh, okay.
City has nothing to do with the zip code.
Okay. So.
But our city boundaries, we go down 99. The city did that to be able to pick up the Department of Correction property.
Sure. I just wondered why the Junction City portion was down there. And
I have no clue. City. That was well before my time.
Not well, you know, there was some story behind that.
There probably is. I just don't know it, unfortunately. But yeah, that's, yeah, the zip code one there. I have no idea. That makes zero sense.
They're closer to family or, yeah, Vanita than they are us.
Okay, to get us back on subject with library talk. I feel like this conversation is not so much of a where we need to validate the importance of the library, because like everybody that's in the room, I assume, Jason, I'm putting you in this bucket as well, understands the value of a library. But I'm curious as like if we look at library outside of the lens of it being just a resource that provides books and learning and community services, and we look at the library from a safety standpoint of what kind of safety it's offering our community by offering access to the internet and a safe space to go for individuals that, whether they're members or not, like, I feel like that could be a position where we're spending 72% on our law enforcement. Like, there is a cohesion between the offerings of the library from a safety standpoint that the city of Junction City needs. And I don't think any other community service has that same value proposition for residents. And so I guess I don't love the it's this or that type of mindset. And I wonder, like, there's nothing that we can do if we other than attempt to vote on something. And I'm gonna go back on mute because I'm being yelled at by my daughter, sorry. I guess with that, the question is like, is the only answer it's this or that, or we vote on it as a city to try to get more funds for the library? That's my question.
So to kind of paraphrase the question to make sure I'm following, you're saying, is there a way to basically classify the library more like a public safety, through the public safety lens, and maybe tap into some of that 72% instead of looking at other options? Or did I miss them?
Yes, in some capacity, yes, that.
And quite frankly, no. That's it. You're to do that. Well, let me back up. We could ask for anything. That, and I'm totally, you know, that's the way life works. We can ask for whatever. The concern I would have is if we start trying to, quite frankly, take from law enforcement to shove over to the library, I would be concerned about opening up the Pandora's box. Because then what I'd be afraid to create is a us versus them mentality. We've had that for, goodness gracious, a number of years. And that's not a constructive conversation for anybody. Looking at the percentage of allocations in a bigger picture, sure. There's always things to be looked at, but it's going to be hard to make the case to say the library falls under the public safety aegis, so therefore we should take money from the police department to further fund the library. I think that'd be a heavy lift and a tough sell. We can try it, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it. I would want to have a plan B, C, D, and E at that point. Because I don't think it would go anywhere, and I would want to be prepared for the opposite pushback. For the police department to say, hey, we need more funding. So, let's reduce what we have in community services.
Okay. And then understand. So are there other departments that are also asking for additional funding? Like, is the police department, or like, is every department basically coming to you this year and saying we need 6% more funding to our budget? Is that?
So the only ones that are asking for additional funding is Public Works. They're enterprise funds, so they don't get any general fund dollars. And so that's in the water, sewer, and sanitation side of things. The police department is actually reducing their staffing by 2. So they're actually reducing some of their funding needs. But they also had a reduction in contracts. So that was a match to that. So effectively, their revenue is flat as far as from a funding standpoint. They haven't asked for anything additional, I should say.
Okay, so our three options are: 1, reduce services from the library so that we're not tapping into everything that Michelle has and more and creating burnout. 2, create a vote and try to see if the city and the community want to support the library in a bigger sense. 3, keep on keeping on, and or take funds from the senior center, which of course we're not advocating for. So it's, I guess, 4 options. That's what I'm understanding.
That's kind of what I'm getting. I do have, I mean, this is not realistic, but like, just say, like, so our like books budget is like 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, if we got like a ton of grants and to cover that, can we use that somewhere else, like for personnel? Can we move stuff around like that?
So I wouldn't be comfortable with one-time money trying to use it for personnel.
Okay.
Because personnel is a multi-year expense. Mm-hmm. Now, let's take that and say you guys got, some grants and some other stuff to cover the books. But you wanted to use that 15,000 to do something else that's a one-time expense. Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. Okay. And we can recognize that in the middle of the year and recognize the revenue and make the adjustment to the expenditures. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Or along the same lines, if we were to get lots of grant money, and you said we have a bucket, so could that money then carry over?
Absolutely.
To a different year?
Yep, absolutely. And
when it comes budget time next year, they're going to go, oh, well, they didn't use that $15,000 last year, so let's reduce
the No, that's a whole point and purpose of the bucket system, because the use it or lose it, which is what that is.
Exactly.
Is a horrible mindset,
yes,
because now you have people wasting crap for crap they don't need. I'd rather say, hey, let's just save it and put it away into the capital fund. That's the savings account, how I look at it. And then we want to do something later. Great, we got the money to do in cash. We don't have to worry about it. So I've had some pretty ambitious department heads over the years. That was part of their strategy, to be able to get something that they really wanted for their department.
Just to put out there, 15,000 is not usually just all for books.
I'm passionate. We need more staff. Are we just supposed to sit around and wait for it? Is there anything the board can do?
I don't have a good answer for you. Okay. I'll be honest. And that's part of the reason why I'm here tonight, and part of the reason I'm saying let's start a little earlier in the year. Because to do that, we've got to create more revenue. And I'm not saying the library needs to start charging for everything, and that's not where I'm going.
Because it's not going to be enough anyway.
Yeah, no, and that's not where I'm going. But what we've had some discussions about is, let's say, we got a bunch of volunteers to work like at the community center, at the senior center. Then we don't need, that lets us free up other revenue from within community services that can be used other places. And that's the one nice thing about the way that 20% is handled for community services. It lets us show. So even though it may not be the library generating that, but another department can generate something that reduces its expenses, then we can move.
That sounds like robbing Peter to pay Paul and getting people to do a job that really should be paid well for free.
Well, quite frankly, at this point, the only choice is either to find that or it doesn't happen, quite frankly, because we don't have the funding to do it. I wish we did, but we don't.
So what we're looking at here, this is property taxes, and then general fund comes from the
property
franchises
taxes.
And the taxes,
yeah.
Other taxes. Mm-hmm. So are those the only two sources of funding that are available?
That the city gets on a regular basis, correct. Everything else, now you could look at, like in the, looking at the budget, you know, anything that the library gives, whether it's, you know, there's a whole bunch of these, whether it's grants, library receipts, whatever it generates stays in its bucket. It doesn't go into the general fund bucket.
Okay. So if you had a bake sale?
It would go into this bucket and stay into this one.
Yeah, what talking at one of the last meetings that we were having trouble writing grants because the timing of everything didn't work out because we had to get extra special approval, and there were so many steps in the way that it was making it impossible for us to apply for grants. Okay, Is there anything we can address with that?
So there's some confusion on the process.
Okay.
I'm super glad you brought it up, because that was on my list that I left in my office. So the process for the board, if it wants to pursue something, and it doesn't matter whatever it is, if what I would recommend is, you know, interfacing with the community services and development board, saying, hey, these are the things we're going to be searching for grant funding on. Is the city okay with that? Just in a general conversation. And, you know, and I guarantee you, they're going to say, hey, you're looking for grants, more power to you, let us know what we can do to help. Now, go through. That's the carte blanche, but as long as, you know, it fits in that window of what's been discussed with the committee, go forth and apply grants all day long. And you don't have to get a separate approval. Grant comes in, it goes through the city, it goes to committee, and it gets officially accepted by the council. Then at that point, part of that official acceptance is creating the supplemental budget to acknowledge it in the budget, and you guys, you know, staff goes forth and does whatever that grant is intended to do. If it's something new, to add something that we don't do today, it's got to make that run through first. That's the piece that adds time. But if you guys know the things you're looking for, I would recommend getting out ahead saying, hey, these are the things we're going to want to be working on from a grant funding standpoint that we're going to be applying for, just to make you all aware. And then that simplifies a lot of things by doing that. Then you eliminate about 3 or 4 steps. Because then you know on the front end if the city has an issue with it before you put any time or effort towards it. Does that make sense? That's how all the other departments do it too.
I was under the impression there was a component of it where the city wanted to be more in control about like how the money was spent, because there was like it needed to fulfill what the grant, you know, was actually for. So like they wanted to monitor what kind of grants we got, just to be careful of how the money spent. Does that make sense? I'm sorry.
And also if the grant has its own timeline, like it has to be administered within a certain period of time, and that money has to go through the council, which is only meeting once a month.
So yes, but no. Okay. So the council can call any meeting within 24 hours if it wants to. And I've done that for grants in the past. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. It's amazing what kind of hoops we'll go through for free money. That's not a problem. Generally, they meet twice a month, the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. I'm sorry, I forgot your question again. It was a control. So yes, and that's part of what's going to happen is you apply for a grant, you know, you're going to get the paperwork, we bring in finance, that's part of why the library and every other department pays administrative charges. Finance are going to set up the fiscal controls they need, and that happens in conjunction with all the rest of the process. It's a parallel process. It's not a serial process. So that's not a big issue. And it's something that the departments aren't going to run. It's going to be finance. They're going to control making sure we meet the requirements of the grant. At the end of the day, they got to certify that we've met those requirements. And Mike has become way more familiar with things outside of finance than he's ever wanted to. He knows more about probably water and sewer pump station operations than any finance director because of different grants. So that's not a problem. We have the ability to chop and change. The key is not making the council and the community services board feeling like they're being caught off guard and not giving the impression of you have to make the decision now. So that's why I like to split off and say, hey, let's talk about what we're going to do. Not a specific grant, not a specific project, but saying, here's the realm of thing we're looking for grants for, and keeping them up to date on what we're doing there. So then when it comes back to them time to make a decision on it, it's, oh yeah, we talked about that you're looking for a grant to get a bookmobile or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not something new. We've already worked out any potential politics of it in advance, because that's what kills things quickly. Is sometimes the inadvertent politics.
So if the money had been funded through the Friends Group and they are handling the financial aspect of it, could they just give us the money for whatever the program, the
like Friends Group? Got a grant?
Yeah, they got the grant. Or does it still have to go through? Because essentially they're an independent 501(c).
Yeah, but then there's a whole other set of accounting rules that's got to go through. Because of then donating the money to the city. So there's other.
So what would be the process for that side?
It would depend on the dollar amount, and I would have to ask Mike because there's only a limited room up here and I don't remember.
Does it still need to go through the process of the community service?
Oh, yeah, that part doesn't change. That part will never change.
But they can donate stuff. The Friends Group can buy us stuff and leave it here without going through anything.
Yeah, it's little things like that. Sure. You know, I mean, but if you're talking something bigger, don't ask me what bigger means. Bookmobile. I'll just use back to that. I don't know why not. I mean, if they're like donating some books or stuff for like the backpacks or stuff like that, yeah, that's in the realm of what the Friends have done always. So that's nothing new.
But like if they paid like a muralist to come and paint a mural, that's fine.
No.
No, that's not fine. Okay.
Because now that's modification to the city facility.
Okay.
So like, I'm assuming you're like talking like a mural, like, well, the, no, what was done on
I mean,
the
corner. It's not going
to
happen.
Well, I think on the corner, on the corner, we're done by a mural. So okay. I had to go through the process.
Okay.
Because that was, now the city has to go through extra steps to make sure we preserve it.
Okay.
And that's
it,
all.
It's not so far off. It is a thought that is out there. The middle school art department has asked about doing a mural.
Where do we pay them, or is it volunteer?
There are grants that we could get to help fund the project.
Okay.
And so
how to go through
that would be a much larger community effort, response, city council approval, and you know,
we're talking with the same group about actually doing stuff. Public Works is looking to change up the garbage cans downtown and like in the parks, and there's basically they're big black metal containers, and so we're talking about having different classes kind of adopt really a container cool. And do their artwork on the different containers. So yeah, I mean,
that'd be really neat.
And it will look like just a big black missile sitting somewhere. Like I don't say they're ugly, but then it involved now the grade school wants to do mural on the intersection on the street.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, kids keep almost getting hit by cars.
I know, like how would we execute that one?
Well, we're waiting on the school to give us a list of materials and some other references. And that again is Public Works because it's a street.
Yeah.
And kind of works out well. The superintendent for Public Works is White Works for the school.
Okay.
And so does mine. So trust me, we hear about it regularly. Yeah. It's gonna go away. So, but it's a great idea, just something to kind of give that block more of that identity. I'm like, okay, you don't mind. It's just, but it's just having that figuring out what that looks like.
So this kind of, you know, well, off subject of that idea, if they had the ramp and wanted to do a mural on that, we had, I brought that up before where now it's kind of cobblestoney. And you had said, well, you might have to even reevaluate if it's still up to code.
And it is, it's fine.
Okay. So would we have to look at funding, like the resurfacing to make that flat for them if it was approved for them to do a mural?
So you're not going to get approval from a safety standpoint to do a mural on the ramp, on the flat part of the ramp. Side, sure. Flat part, no. Insurance company has already weighed in on that one.
Okay.
Just because it's an incline?
An inclement weather, now you get the potential for it to create a slip hazard. Someone slips, sees the city because you did that.
Put a mirror.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, any other questions for Jason?
I guess I just want to quickly clarify. Okay. Because we've got so many volunteers. They're lovely. What if we have a volunteer who's like, I want to go gangbusters on fundraising and grant writing? Is there a way for us to say, hey, we're going to be this year trying to fundraise for more staffing, materials? Like, can we be really generic? Like, we want to be fully funded. Is that enough information before, you know, we start going crazy writing grants and looking for funding?
No. No. If you look, I mean, because it's a little too generic. I mean, if you want to say, hey, we want to go like gangbusters and we want to try to fundraise to remodel or expand the library. Okay, that's generic enough. And we're not looking for anything specific at that point. But just saying we want to be fully funded, well, what does that mean? That's a little too generic there.
Okay, what if we said we want to have a second full-time employee, full-time?
Okay, so grant funding is not going to cover that. Fundraising isn't going
to
cover that.
Sometimes they do for, like, if you're wanting to introduce new features and programs in a facility. I learned about a few grants like that when I was in my my graduate program this last year.
So you got two different things here. So bringing in someone to do like a summer reading program or something of that nature, That would work under what you're proposing. But let's say to clone Michelle and have a second Michelle at the library, that's not going to cover that because that's a year on for every year until that person retires or leaves.
What if the purpose of it was to show the benefit of having a second person? Like, wow, the library really does need another person.
So how are, I know it sounds like I'm being negative, but please don't take it this way. But because I've tried to recruit this type of position before. So you're going to advertise and say, hey, you know, we've got funding for 1 year to have a person come in and do this work. You're probably not going to get very many people that will take that saying, I've only got employment for a year. Because you can't, we'd have to put it in.
I don't know. It sounds kind of like a full year internship. I know a whole bunch of
paid internship. That's a different. That's different than having a paid employee. Intern.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what I was meaning then. A full-time paid intern.
Yeah. Now, if you want to have a grant funded or a fundraising funded intern position, that's a different kettle of fish.
That's the language we need. Intern.
Okay. We need the right language.
But you're talking a second person, that means to me into the union, a regular full-time employee.
Oh, because interns don't get benefits.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
We're on a program, and we use interns in other areas in the city quite regularly.
Okay.
Just to concur on that point that, yes, grant writing is, you know, for a position is programmatic. It is never sustainable for a long-term position. There's just too many elements and there's no security within the funding to allow for it. I think that programmatically we could bring in, one of the thoughts was to tutor the level of literacy has dropped so greatly and the schools are clamoring for assistance at that level. A tutor is not necessarily, it's that we could station someone here at the library on like Tuesdays and Thursdays and do kind of like a sign up. And this is not, you know, a heavily encumbered time position that I don't think that it would be hard to fill. I think that it would be, you know, easier even than an internship, so to say. So, and I've actually found a grant organization who said they pay for it. yes, I'm not taking on new projects. I'm not. I just, you know, projecting for the future. It's always good to have future options.
Yeah, and those kinds of things, absolutely, you know. Anytime around, that's whether you call it an intern or a whatever, it doesn't, that's totally fine. That's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah, I think like if we had an intern just to help you like process books or something, mm-hmm. that could help a lot.
But see, then it's a program, it's a set span. Once the funding's done, it's done. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows it going in, so there's not a... Okay.
So if we went to the, just to clarify, if we went to the Community Services Board and said, we're going to be looking for grant funding in these areas, and one of the areas is going to be for a temporary position for an intern, for special project employees, or possibly part-time for
tutor, whatever
we would call that, not special project, but anyway,
programmatic. Other
yeah. Programmatic. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You already said I couldn't.
I like that term, so I stole it.
Yes. And then we could look for grant funding for mm-hmm. those yep. things would be acceptable.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the more that there's that level of communication between this board and that board, the easier it will be in the long run. You know, even if it's just some kind of a written report of, hey, here's what we're working on this month. That doesn't have to be anything super fancy. It could be pretty basic, just getting that communication level there. So that way nothing feels like a surprise.
And our fiscal year ends in June?
June 30th, yep.
Is there a cap on how much money we can receive in grants in a year?
No.
Yes,
don't how worry about it.
Yeah, however much you can well, out of, that's the thing.
You said that there was a cap on what like an outside group could donate to us?
Not a cap, and if I said cap, I apologize. There's, depending on the level of what they donate, there's different rule sets that get applied to it.
Okay. I was just thinking, you know, miraculously some generous benefactor says, here's my life savings. It's $10,000. You know, I'm gifting you this in my will.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to accept that?
Yes. In short, I mean, there's some legal process you have to go through, but in long and short is yes.
Hmm. Okay.
We've actually had that happen for parks. We had some folks that donated property to the city. So
is that a park now? Not yet.
Ish.
Oh, where is that?
It's the parking lot in front of Lyle Day.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that was city property.
Yeah, it got donated to the city.
Isn't there always RVs there? Or am I thinking something different?
You were thinking next, right across the street from it, down six, just one block down. That's there's a guy that's... Sometimes there's RVs there, but they're not supposed to be.
Okay. So next time I'll pay attention.
There's a business guy that's got two lots around it that he does RV sales.
Okay.
And sometimes he borrows our lot.
Okay.
So, you know, once in a while I send him a rental bill so he stops. I predict that was the easiest way to encourage him.
Yeah.
Okay. Once in a while he's paid it once in a while. So when you need the community services. Mm-hmm. So, but not very often. So.
Any other questions?
I guess one of the questions, the budgetary, the budget request that I had put in from last year for this fiscal year had been approved. Some of the items I had held off towards, I didn't want to put more furniture in here until we had painted. It seems a little more financially tighter. Should I not have not go through with those purchases and wait?
So what are we talking? We're talking furniture. This is what we're talking about.
So yeah, we had the kids' furniture and the shelving unit for at the end of the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Power washing is our buildings in the road.
So power washing, that just comes through building maintenance. I'm not worried about that. Your other pieces, they all go through your library capital projects on your building projects. And that's not part of the main fund. So
it looks like you have
some grand sitting aside in your building projects in this current fiscal year that you can use.
Okay, so
$7,000
that I can use, that I should.
Mm-hmm.
And then your contingency hasn't been touched either.
Yeah, no, we're talking about coming out of the capital projects fund, not the main fund.
Oh, you can't take main fund money.
Well, main fund, we have money set aside just for this.
That, yeah, the line capital. 80, right?
Yeah, line 83.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. There's 10,000 sitting in that particular line that's building projects. I don't know if it's going to show up in that one or not.
No, I'm looking at this March one from this year. Yeah. Right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen it. I have it, but I haven't seen it. Okay. Yeah. I would use that line, that 7109 for your furniture.
Okay.
Absolutely. If that's the word. No, it's kind of the nice thing about putting stuff into the capital fund that you don't ever hammer on your main operating fund when you want to do things like that. And then the painting comes out of the CDB project, so you're fine there.
Okay.
And anything associated with that, that's all we're left to talk.
Okay.
Any other questions? Laura, Cindy, you good?
Yep,
all good.
All right. So you had mentioned, Jason, if we did like even a written description to council, are you talking about
committee?
Committee.
Community Services and Development Committee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Community service. So they combine them?
Yeah.
Okay. And to get them a written thing, what's the best way to do that?
Treat it to me in an email is probably the simplest.
Okay.
And they meet the first Wednesday of the month. So if I had it by the last Friday of the month, it's usually less than the packets out.
Okay.
If not, I can hand it out at the meeting too, so it's not a huge deal. But...
Do they want more of a presentation package or just that letter's okay?
Just the letter's okay. I don't want to add a whole lot more to your plate.
Thank you.
So.
And then to discuss next year's budget, invite you back in November,
Yeah, I'm thinking like October, November, just put it on the agenda. Just, and I'd like to see it maybe being a standing here on forward every year.
Okay. And we will have plenty more questions for you then.
Yeah, because I've enjoyed all the questions tonight. And I feel it's been great use of time. For sure.
Okay, great. Well, I'm good. Wendy? Nancy?
And do we have, I'm assuming that you're open to questions at other times.
Oh, absolutely.
Just now.
Oh,
and I, how do we get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest is email.
I'm sure it's on a website somewhere.
Yeah, so it's the jkn@ci.junction-city.or.us. Gotta do something with that. That's too long.
Very long.
Yeah, it's just like the teachers, you know, the teachers.
Yes, exactly. Well, the police department managed to shorten theirs, so we gotta do something. We can't let them be just that way. A lot of competition, but
you gotta get shorter.
Yeah, well, there's JCPD or JCPolice.org. Okay, that's way shorter.
But then it's not a government email. .org.us. Your official,
you know,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm more than happy to answer emails or if someone wants to sit down and chat. I'm totally open to it. Not a problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You good, Michelle?
Ready? Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we should postpone this library vision statement because it is 7:51.
Okay.
Is that okay with everyone?
Can we? I'm with you on postponing it.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do it like a quick, just like, yeah. What are we thinking vision statement wise? Because I am not, other than being on the board, I am not actively involved in the programs and things going forward. Does everybody have an idea of something that they would like to see as part of a vision statement going forward? Because I'm happy to watch other people do this and offer feedback based on, you know, how does that sound, but for actual goals for our vision, I don't feel qualified to do that.
We also have the community survey that we did
to reflect on
community, okay. And we can also,
because like that link said, you know, you want to have various stakeholders take part, yes, in this. That's not, yes, something that should come from one place. It should come from, you know, what is the vision for this entity?
I mean, I could pull info from that survey, like what people are looking for. Is that what our vision should be, what people want?
The vision moving forward, what is our place in the community? So right now our mission is what we're doing right now. Where do we want to go? Do we want, is our vision to reach greater bound, you know, outside the boundaries that we currently reach? Is it to reach more patrons within the boundary? Is it to offer more programs? Is it to be a beacon of hope in hard times? You know, like, what is our vision going?
I don't have a clear vision on this.
I'm just wondering how we're going to formulate the vision that we will be discussing.
Yeah.
We can talk about
this. This might be a couple.
We can talk about how we're going to talk about it next time.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, if you want to, if there's something, you know, people are saying what I would like to see in the library from that data that you collected, and you could summarize that, I think that would be helpful.
And you probably want to think of an element or process to include the community services committee.
Okay. Do you think, like, because we're already done, like, the mission statement and our values, and I was thinking we do the vision and then we present it all and say, do you accept this? Do you like this?
And maybe I'm... Yeah, absolutely. But also, if you're wanting a little extra input to help kind of come up with that vision statement,
they're an additional put it stakeholder. In their pocket,
you know, a little bit too. It's a resource you can tap to help get buy-in from that side. Okay. You know, you could like bring that, like, hey, here's what we think on this. It, you know, have it as a discussion, and then come back with, okay, here's everything done, including the mission statement. You know, whole nine yards. It's just food for thought.
Okay. I don't know how we would do that. Like, would we just go to the meeting and say we want to
send them an email?
Well, would you shoot me an email saying, okay, we're ready to come talk to them. I'd make sure you guys got on the agenda as an actual agenda item to tie that conversation.
Okay.
And that's not a big love to do.
Okay. But if we wanted their opinion, would they need a couple, like a meeting to think about it? I feel like it's a weird thing to put someone on the spot to give their opinion on.
Yeah, but they're pretty good at that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that happens pretty regularly. I'd say that one, but it does. Okay. But it could be one of those, maybe you guys have like a rough draft you wanted an input in on. How would they get the packet in advance? They'd have time to read it and think about it before the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, because I would want to on this, making sure they had that in advance, not just, oh, hey, welcome to the meeting. Oh, by the way, here you go.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that you might get an answer.
But nobody likes that.
Could you use one of the library board meetings as an open public meeting, public scoping meeting of saying we are looking for comments from the community to...
If we did that, I wouldn't want the meeting to be here. I would want to move it.
Yeah, it's real small.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason that can't be done. I mean, absolutely.
Because then we would have both the survey and current comment.
Okay.
You know, I'd almost do that as a, maybe make it a joint meeting between the board and the community services committee, which is not a big deal. We do that all the time. You know, just kind of do it that whole bit.
So are you talking about inviting community to it? Okay.
Yeah.
Would we just advertise it here?
Everywhere. Yeah, because you want the community.
We do our normal, like we would, our normal outreach.
Is that just like on a web page? I don't feel like there's a good way to get a hold of everyone now.
There is no way to get a hold of everybody. Shoot for the majority, that's not the best you can do.
You know, the loss of the newspaper, unfortunately, is a...
But it just had been going. I just remember when
if they still did the recipes, it would be great. We could stick it next to that because everybody read the recipes. So
yeah, it's just
I read the comics, not the recipes. Oh. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so I think we don't really know what we're doing there, but we've got some ideas on how to reach other people for the vision.
So if we can put the discussion of the library vision statement onto next month's agenda, and then we can move forward from there about how we're going to move forward.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Because,
yeah, I don't think we've got time to discuss it.
No.
Okay. So topic 6 is library update and review with Michelle. What do you want to cover?
I don't know how much more budget would like to hear.
Yeah, we got the... Maybe. Should we just scan it and see if there's any questions?
That would be
good. If I had any. I'm good. Everybody else is.
Well, Jennifer's good on it.
Laura, Cindy, any questions about the March budget?
I don't think so.
None from me. Thank you.
Nancy, you're good?
Programming is going well. Just in general, attendance to the library has grown greatly. We are doing probably about just under 200 a week to the library, whereas before it might have been 117. So it's, you know, it's a good growing aspect. We've had a lot of people come to the programming. Our February, that was February, March. What did we just do?
What month are we in?
Let's see. Well, February, like craft a story. We had 21 people. We had to bring over all the tables. And then in March, we did, that was related to the Valentine's Day. So that was always a big winner. And then we did duct tape projects. And I've never seen so many boys come to our library at once. So they had a great time. That was wonderful. Story time is doing well. We've had a growth in team coming to our library. A lot more are coming back to do research. And we are finding that the things that they're needing research on, we have to update a bit more. Nonfiction is the harder section to update because every book is like $40 to $70. Sometimes they're not your inexpensive ones, but we are working towards that. The upcoming book sale, I have been able to go through a lot of the books, and we're going to be putting a lot of people donate more recent books. And so we'll be putting those books. So I've cut costs of having to buy new books because we are going to be using the donated books for a large portion. So that's excellent. So we've had a lot more middle school and teen use on our computers. Nice. Great photos for us of teens and kids using for not gaming purposes. We have two author events coming up, and they are local authors, and so that should get a great response. One's going to be at the end of the Friends Group's book sale, so it's a nice, and it's also National Library Week, so it's a nice overall effort of kind of bringing people to the library. We have, I am finishing up the selection of the programming for the Summer Wednesday series for the summer reading program. And I am also looking at ways to not spend money. And I am partnering with a lot of local businesses to bring in demonstrations. So this way we are giving back to the community so that they can also reach out and draw people into their own programs and help us in providing that enrichment to the kids who attend our program. So right now, Martial Arts America is going to do an interactive demo with the kids. And so
next door, right?
Next door. So yeah, no, not here. All the programming for the summer reading program happens at the community center. So that's great because having a sports element is something that we've not had in our summer reading program. So I think that will capture a different element for kids. And then as part of that too, I've reached out to the JC School of Dance, and they are also looking to do an interactive demonstration with the kids. None of these programs will cost me money, yay. And it will give back to the community in kids being able to, find things locally that they can join.
Yeah.
So that's a win-win. there was a theater group that I was going to try and work with, but unfortunately I've not heard back from them. But we also have, I work with Lane Arts, and they are a cultural organization in Eugene. And so one of the items, our theme this year is Find Your Voice. I don't make them up. It comes from a state sponsored thing. But it is a cowboy singer songwriter, and he will create a song with the kids. And so that's great. And then I have the Museum of Natural and Cultural History coming, and they are going to do, their program is Oregon Rocks. And so they're going to learn all about the science and STEM of geology. So I still have a few more to plug in. I actually am also talking to Lane County ESD school system for their STEM educators to try and get one of them out. And then also another partner with the community, with the one of our patrons is part of the Scandinavian Festival Group. And they would like to bring more of the heritage, the Scandinavian heritage, and with, you know, into the, you know, purview of kids. And so I'm trying to, you know, work with them. Maybe they can do a dance, you know, dancing or read, you know, storytelling or something that brings the Scandinavian heritage. So hopefully, with three community partners, I think that will be great.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions for Michelle? All right. Other business. So the Friends are having a book sale, and I'm just going to email you all with the times they need volunteers. All right. Any other business? Okay. Public comment. I think we're ready to adjourn. We're ready? Okay. Adjourning this. Oh, wait. First.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Next meeting. I have the next. What's the next meeting? Tuesday, May 16th, 6:30. Next meeting. And we're adjourning this meeting at 8:06.
Good night, guys.
Bye, Cindy. Bye, Laura. Thank you, Jason.
Oh, by the way, I miss you guys so much. I love my job so much.
Where are you at?
I am actually, it's really funny. Okay.